let's go to Isaiah 55. We're going to read the entire chapter, if you don't mind. Someone can read. Come. Yes, please.
Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader, and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I set it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for any everlasting sign which will be destroyed.
Which will not be destroyed. God. Thank you. That's a great chapter, isn't it? Right? This is packed with a lot of good stuff there that we can learn from. So I'm not going to be long. Let's look at this together. So Isaiah 55. Let's begin with verse 1. Please take a look at it from your Bible. Come to me, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and you labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. A human being is not just a body. You have a body, you have a spirit, you have a soul. When your body is hungry, you feed it with physical food. But your body is not the only thing in your being that starves and that hungers. Our spirits and our souls hunger as well. You do not just have physical health, you also have spiritual health. You have health of your soul, that is health of your emotions, health of your health of your mind. There is and you just like you can be sick physically and you can be weak physically, you can also internally, spiritually, in your soul, in your spirit, you can also be sick. And just like you can die physically, you can also die spiritually. And just like you feed your physical body with certain food, there is also such a thing as spiritual food, as food for your inner being. And so, a lot of people live as if they do not have an inner being. They live as if the body is all they've got, is all they are. And so they clothe themselves, they feed themselves, they do all these things, but they neglect their inner being. And they do not realize that there is a deep thirst and a deep hunger in their inner being. That deep hunger and that deep thirst can only be fulfilled by God. And God is the food that your inner being needs. Jesus says, it's in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He is the bread that gives life to our inner being. And so he says here, come to the water who you are thirsty, and who you who have no money, right? It is also, there is also spirit, there is also physical wealth, material wealth, there is also spiritual wealth. In the spiritual world, in the spiritual world, we come to God and we tell him, God, I am thirsty. And you come to him and God will give it to you. He will give you the living water. He'll give you the bread of life. He'll give you the water of life. But look at what he says here. Why spend money on what is not bread and you labor on what does not satisfy? Some people have sensed and felt that their inner being is hungry and thirsty. They're looking for something to satisfy them. However, the way that they're trying to fulfill that is they go out there in the world. They look for entertainment. They're working hard to get a relationship with another human being. Now, there's nothing wrong with clean, wholesome entertainment. Right? Not all entertainment is bad. Right? There's nothing wrong to being in a godly, pure, holy relationship with someone that has the goal of you, a guy and a girl, having a relationship with the goal of forming a life together in all godliness and with Jesus Christ as the center. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. The entertainment is not going to feed your soul. And the fiancé or spouse or what, you can have the best husband in the world. You can have the best wife in the world. She's still not going to be a good God to you, right? Even the kindest and most caring of husbands is not going to be a good God to you. Only God is God. And only Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And only he gives the living water. And so you have people laboring, going after these things. One of the things I've realized in Boston, especially around people, us young people, there is such a people are living from one social event to the next, right? This birthday party, let's go out to do this, and let's go out to do that. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with celebrating somebody's birthday party. But the problem is that these things are being chased because people are longing for something. Okay, I can stay at home. Something is empty in me. I got to fill it with something. So let me look for a party. Let me look for something that's going on. And then folks go to these things I'm here. Something is missing. Something is missing, and so I'm thirsty for something. I think it's just that I need to socialize a little more. I think I need a girlfriend or I need a boyfriend. Let me go look for it. So people are investing a lot into this stuff. And so they go to one of those things, and what do they realize? It doesn't work. That doesn't satisfy the deep need that's inside of them. And so people say, well, or that boyfriend was just not the good kind. That was not the right one. Let me just gonna find the next one is gonna be good. The next one's gonna be good. Or well, this girlfriend, she was just bad. Yeah, she was just bad. And she, that's why she, you know, let me look. And then so you look for, or that party, yeah, this circle of people, they're all bad. They all have their clique. They don't want to be friends with me. No, but the problem is that's not what you need. The need is for the inner being to be satisfied. And so you look at our society and you see a lot of laboring, a lot of work, people trying hard to find something. They go and they spend money. They pay money to go and watch the next movie, and Hollywood is constantly producing the next thing for them and thriving on the fact that folks are empty and they're using entertainment as a substitute for joy. They have no joy, and they figured out that joy cannot be received. Joy cannot be gotten by a car can give you joy. A job can give you joy. A high salary can give you joy. None of these things can make you happy. You can find pleasure in this thing, but you won't find joy. You won't find the fulfillment that's inside. I don't care what kind of a beautiful house you live in. It doesn't matter what kind of a good or bad husband you have. It doesn't matter whether you drive a Rolls Royce. If you don't have Christ in your life and you are not feeding from the food that He gives for the inner being, you will be starving and you will be empty no matter what you do, right? And you and I have to realize that. And there's only one source to get this food. You won't get it. Religion is not going to give it to you. I cannot give it to you. You have to go to Jesus Christ, to God. Only He will give it to you. But here's the thing, right? That all sounds good, right? The promise sounds great. But there are some conditions to it, right? There are some conditions to it. Here are some conditions to it. The first one is that you need to come, right? God doesn't have a catering service, right? He doesn't come and deliver food at our door, right? You have to come to Him. No, it's true, right? We come to God. And here's the thing. Here's the part that causes people to stumble. You have to come to God on His own terms. He will never change His terms for anybody. If you want to go to the White House, right? If we want her to go take a tour of the White House, they're going to give us the conditions. When you come in, you're going to have to go through this gate over here. You're going to have your bag passed through this particular scanner. We're going to pat you with our scanner. There will be no phone and no picture taking in the West Wing. We're going to do a background check on all of you, which is all true. This is what they do. We're going to do a background check on you. We're going to have to know who you are and stuff like that. If you say, well, no, I don't like that. I'm going to keep my bag. You're not running my bag to your scanner. You're not going to go in, right? And they're not going to change their terms to please you, right? And we're talking about a small house on Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, if you're dealing with God, you want to come to God, and you want to come to His table, to His dinner, you're going to come there on His own terms. And what are those terms? Here's what may not be obvious to you. It is you who have no money, right? Who are the people who have no money? What does he mean by that? It is interesting because look at verse 2 say, why do you spend money on what does not satisfy? So these people, it's not talking about material money, Because the people clearly have material money, which they are spending on what does not satisfy. They're spending on the things of life they think will make them happy. So they do have the material wealth. But God is saying, come to me, you who are spiritually poor. What does that mean? It means someone who realized, God, I'm spiritually bankrupt. God, I'm a poor person. It is somebody who realizes their need. It is someone who realizes that there is nothing that I can do to help myself. I can't go and buy this thing from God. This word, this food that God is talking about, this relationship with God, that's not something I have nothing to offer to God in exchange for this. It's not something I can earn. It's only something that can be given to me. Right? Someone was saying to me that God gives us things because we deserve them. I said, no way. It's the opposite. We deserve nothing. And as we deserve absolutely nothing from God. We come to God as poor people. We come to God as beggars. Right? Have you ever gone and begged somebody for food? You know the humility that it takes to do that? You really have to realize that, one, I'm out of food. And two, there is no other way I'm going to get food except if I go beg for it. You come to God like that. You come at God's door like a beggar. I know it sounds, you know, this is not going to raise your self-esteem, right? This is not a good sermon for helping people to get high self-esteem. If you come to God like that, like a beggar at a door and say, God, look, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. And I can't even begin to buy what you have to offer to me. But what you're offering me is what I need. Can you please give it to me? You come to God like that, I guarantee you, He will give you living water and He will give you food like you have never had before. The problem is our pride. The problem is we want to say, I'm good enough. The problem is we want to say, well, I'm a good person. The problem is that we want to say, well, of course I deserve, God must give me at least something. I haven't been that bad, right? I haven't been that bad. That pride and that arrogance is what keeps us from the fullness of God. You and I have to realize. And so Jesus says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What poor was he talking? Was he talking about materially poor people? Well, then no rich person would ever be able to get into the kingdom of God. He was talking about people who realize their inner poverty, their inner bankruptcy, who realize their profound need. That's what Jesus was talking about. Those who come to God, and that's why Luke says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. It is coming to God and saying, God, I'm a poor man and I'm going to come at your door every day to receive that food that I cannot buy with dollars and that no other human being can give to me. You come to God like that, He will give to you. So you have to come. You have to be proactive about this. You have to go to God. And it is not something that you do one day. This is something that we keep going to God back for over and over. There's not a time when you and I reach a level of spirituality when we're like, nah, I've obtained it and I don't need this anymore. All of us, we constantly go to God. And we constantly go to God day after day. We come to Him. We ask Him for this. And we come with that attitude of, Lord, we are poor. Bless us. And He will give it to us. And so now, not only will God give to us, the Bible says, your soul will delight in the richest affair. There is something that God gives to people, the food and the nourishment, the satisfaction that He gives to our inner being. It's something that is not, it's not cheap food. It's not the equivalent of spiritual fast food. It is richest affair. It is something that does come, God does not give to, God is not, He's not someone who will give us leftovers or who will give us stale food. It will be the richest and the richest and the richest of food. It is a banquet like you have never been to. It is better than any party you go to. It is better than anything else that you, out there that the world can give to us. This is true. And so we read on Wednesday that the Bible was saying to crave the spiritual milk, to crave and to desire it, so that by it we may grow the pure and the sincere milk. And so how do we, here are some admonishment practically, how does this work, right? How do we go and get this food? How do we receive it? This is what verse 6 is talking about. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. We have to seek after God. And the seeking after God is something that you and I have to realize. It's not like one day we go out there and we live our lives however we want. And then one day we say, you know what? Nah, today I'll seek God. And then we go. It doesn't work like that. Seek the Lord while he may be found. It means that there comes a time, if you're not seeing him, there comes a time when you may want to seek for him, but he won't be found. There are seasons. There's a season for everything. There's a season to seek after God. And there's a season when you may try to seek for him and you will not. He may not be found. And by the way, that is true not just in an overall lifetime picture. It's also true on a daily basis. Just as the Bible said, there's a time and a season for everything. In every day, within every day, within every 24 hours, there's a time for everything. There's a time to seek after God. If the time to seek after God, you spent it browsing the internet, you'll try to seek him later during the day, but you find that you can't because there are other things coming at your day that you didn't plan for. And you realize, oh, I should have spent that morning time with God before my life got taken over by all this distraction during the day. And that's why the best time to seek after God is in that morning time. You get up. First thing you do, you go into the Word of God and you begin to read. We seek after God. You seek him by reading his Word. So he says, listen to me and eat what is good. That's in verse 2. Listen to me and eat. Men will not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So listen to me and eat. You have to listen. You are listening means what? Means you stop. You dial down the noises. You stop everything and you pay attention to what the person is trying to say. And listening is more than just hearing. I can hear what you're saying to me, but my mind is not here and my mind is somewhere else. Did I hear what you said? Did my ears hear what you were saying? Yes. But did my heart register and accept what you were saying? No. So God is saying, listen to him. You get up in the morning and you allow God to speak through his word. You read the word of God and you try to listen. You try to meditate on it. You try to say, God, what are you saying to me? What does this mean for me? Right? I'm not going to get into that alone. One of these days we're gonna talk about studying the Bible, reading it, and how to get something from it. But you come before God with a sincere heart. Maybe one verse. Maybe God telling you, cast all your anxieties on me. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And that's what God wants you to remember and meditate on for that day. And you take that verse with you throughout the day. It may be God saying, evil companions ruin a bad conduct. And God is trying to say, cut off some friendships in your life that are badly influencing you. And so you go out throughout the day and you make sure you obey. That is how we begin, we seek after God. So we seek after him day after day. And when you seek after God, like I just said, what will be the result? God is going to begin to point certain things in your life, right? Always. Especially at the beginning, when you first start to really put in the time to seek after God, he'll begin to point things in your life. So, and he says, so verse 7 says, let the wicked man forsake his way and the evil man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God who will freely pardon. When you start to seek after God, God is going to begin to show you places in your life that need a little bit of a cleanup. It may be in your relationship with people, certain relationship God will ask you to cut off. It may be certain things you watch that God is going to ask you to cut off. Certain TV program. And here is a tip. If you're watching TV, if you're ever watching TV and you want to determine whether what you're watching is good or bad, before the program starts, right, you're about to watch, Game of Thrones. That's what seems to be popular these days. I haven't watched it. But I never sat down and watched an episode of it. I don't know what it's really about. But before you sit down, I don't know what time does it air. What is it, 8 p.m. or 7 p.m.? I don't know. Let's say it's at 8. So when you are at 7:58, come in front of your TV, sit down and take an empty chair, put it next to you. And pray and say, Jesus, please come, sit down with me and let us watch this next episode together. And say amen. If you can pray that prayer with a clear conscience, go ahead and watch the thing. That's a good show that you can watch. If your conscience tells you, no, you better not invite Jesus Christ to join you in this, then that's a bad program. Don't watch it, right? That is something that goes on for anything. People invite you to go to a movie. Say, sure, Jesus, I'm going to this movie today. Come and watch it with me. And if the Lord is sitting there, and then after you're done and you go back to Jesus, you say, thank you for joining me in watching these things. You can do that. That's a good movie to go watch. If you feel like you can do that, yeah, that if you feel like you cannot do that, then you stay away. God will begin to put things in us, show us things in our ways in us that are wicked and that need to change. It may be that God will begin to tell you, this is not how you talk to people. This is not how you talk to your parents. This is not how you talk to your sibling. God will begin to tell you, maybe you're too quarrelsome. You get into verbal heated exchange too easily. Right? And God will begin to tell you, to show you, no, it takes two people to fight, right? If one person decides not to fight, it's really hard, right? You know, it takes, each person has to contribute 50%. If you decide not to invest your 50%, you've cut the problem by a half, right? And having half of a problem is a lot better than having double of it, right? And half of it depends on you. And so God may begin to show you things like that. Maybe God will show you that you're too lazy. You know, like the proverb says, as a door swings on its hinges, so does the lazy man swing on his bed. And it's time to wake up, but he's just swinging. Like, he seems like he's attached to the door, to the bed. He cannot go anywhere. And maybe that's the verse you read that one day. And God begin to convict you, okay, maybe it's time you begin to set that alarm clock. And when the alarm clock goes on, you get up regardless of how you feel about getting up or not. It may be that. And when you respond to that, let me tell you, that is the secret to knowing God. That is the secret. There are no shortcuts to this. You want to know God? You want to become a man of God? You want to become a woman of God? It's not. One of the things that I realized, one of the myths that I had believed in my early Christian walk that I had wished someone had told me was not true. I believed, you know, there was this some kind of a spiritual lottery and some people got lucky and they won. And some other people who were unlucky, and I obviously was one of them, did not win the lottery. So Some people get spiritual and God, they know God and they have a wonderful relationship with God. The rest of us are just, you know, regular Christians. We're just going to go to church and make it to heaven by grace, you know. And it's not like that. I discovered that whether it be the people you read in the Bible or those throughout church history who knew God or people that you know in your life, you show me a man, you show me a woman who knows God. You can look at their life and see Christ manifested in them. You can see the righteousness and holiness of God and the character of Christ. I will show you a person who has paid a price to seek after God day after day after day after day in their life. They may have many faults. You may disagree with them on doctrine and things like that. But one common thing you'll see after them, there are people who took time to seek after God. And God began to point out things in their lives. And they responded and obeyed. God told them, hey, you're not being too kind to your wife. And they were like, okay, God, I got it. And they began to make changes to their behavior. And then God revealed the next thing to them. God showed them, hey, look, you're addicted to alcohol. You got to get out of this thing or else you will die in that and you will go to hell. And you allow the fear of God to come into your heart. And you change, and God then revealed, you make room for more revelation. And so that there's no shortcut to that. You do that, you'll become a man or a woman of God. You go to God, you seek after Him, you listen, you allow Him to speak to you. When He gives you things, anytime when he points something into your life that needs to change, you change. God tells you, look, you're eating food that's too unhealthy. You are a glutton. You worship food, right? And that's true of a lot of us. And you begin to say, okay, God, I got it. Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit begin to help you to know when you know that you've eaten enough. The Holy Spirit start to give you the power to say, no, not one more spoon, not another bite. I've gotten enough to live and for today. And that's it. Or God begins to show you, look, you're using food to comfort yourself. And you say, God, I got it. I agree with you. I'm going to change that in my life. Whatever it is, you respond to God like that, He'll reveal more to you. And here's what's going to happen. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God will begin to reveal His thoughts to you. And that is something that no other human being can give to you. And this is one of the greatest gifts that you get when you walk with God. The God of heaven, who has thoughts just like you and I have thoughts, will begin to actually put His own thoughts into you, reveal to you what's on His heart. And you become a friend, a partner with Him, right? I'm going to end here, but the result of this, when you read later, is that God begins to use you to bless those who are around you. That's what it's about when He said that my word goes out and it waters the earth and it brings forth and it causes the earth to flourish. When God begins to reveal His thoughts to you, begins to speak to you, a blessing begins to flow through you that brings life to other people, that brings life around you. So it goes from a thirsty man, from a hungry and thirsty and poor man, to a man or a woman that God uses to water the earth. That's the miracle of the spiritual growth. You go from a person who is poor, who has no money, who's chasing after vain things that will not even satisfy your own soul, to a person through whom God can send a word, through whom God can put some thoughts and some purposes, the result of which will be to bless those who are in your house, in your family, in your church, in your city, in your town, in your country, however big God makes that perimeter for you, right? This is what God is calling us to live in. This is why God wants you and I to come. This is why God wants you and I to enter into. He desires for you. You and I were not You are not the result of a random process. You did not come from, you know, some cells somewhere exploded, and after many years of evolving, here you are. That's not true. God created you, and He created you with a purpose, with a plan. Your life has meaning. Your life has value. And it has value because God created you. And He has purposes for your life. He does not intend for you and for me to come into this world, chase after a few things that will have no meaning in eternity, chase after worldly wealth, after earthly things. One day we die and that's it. That's not what God has for His children. That's not what God has for you. God wants you to come to Him. He will give you the living water. He will give you the spiritual food that will nourish you and satisfy you. And then God will make you a blessing. You'll build a relationship with Him, and He'll begin to use you to bless other people around you. Amen.